everyone to CYC's episode 2 of Personal Statement. My name is Miliani Smith. My pronouns are she, hers, hers, and I am a junior at Charlotte Country Day School.
My name is Augustine Glavin Jr., and I am a freshman at University of North Carolina at Greensboro, North Spartan, and I'm the 2019 Jordan Winning Scholarship recipient.
So before we get into anything, I just want to ask Augustine, like, how has your week been? You know, we're getting towards Friday, and I know that's always a good time for me because it's Friday and no more school. So just, like, how has your week been?
My week has been really busy getting ready for the start of midterm. And also I've been trying to keep a balance with my fitness. So I've been going to the gym a lot.
So how has campus life been with COVID-19 and everything?
Campus is pretty good. It's kind of the same, but except that there's a lot of regulations and rules in place so we can be safe.
That's good. Just make sure you're wearing your mask because I'm sure Miss Maria will be over there in like 2.5 seconds if you're not wearing your mask all the time. You know, she is crazy about wearing your mask, which is good because we have to stay safe. But today, for this episode, we have a super special guest, huge title, he's very important. So joining us today to make a statement is the president, vice chairman, alternate governor, and minority owner of the Charlotte Hornets, Mr. Fred Whitfield. He's also a native of Greensboro, North Carolina. Mr. Whitfield is a member of the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame and was recognized last year as the 2019 Citizens of the Carolinas.
He is also a graduate of Kimball University and North Carolina Central Law School, and today he will discuss his path to success. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Whitfield.
It's great being here, Augustine, and great seeing you, Millie, as well, and all the smiling faces. It's an honor to be here today, and I just want to applaud all the great work that Aaron is doing with CYC and the board of CYC, and certainly the Kassam family and their involvement from the very beginning, Luke and Catherine, who are very close friends of ours. And it's just a thrill to be able to see Augustine, and it gives me chills that he's a Jordan Brand Wings honoree. I worked at Jordan Brand for 3 years and worked at Nike for 5 years. And to see the growth that Jordan Brand has had and the impact they're making out in the community through their Wings program is something that I know Michael Jordan hoped for as a part of his brand, and we that worked alongside of him in that brand are really proud of.
Thank you for that great response. There is a few more questions that came in, sure, but we wanted to go ahead and ask you some other questions from like the CYC community, and we're going to call this little segment kind of like CYC Shoots Their Shot. So in the spirit of the basketball season and the famous quote, "You'll miss 100% of those chances you don't take," CYC wants to shoot their shot with Mr. Whitfield and the Charlotte Hornets. We have three scenarios, you know, just like hypotheticals here. And on like a scale from like 1 to 5, we just want you to like rate how possible they are, okay? The first one is, can we possibly get Michael Jordan on an episode of Personal Statement? On a scale from like 1 to 5, like what are we thinking?
Probably -5.
Like, I mean, like not even like a 1. Like
no,
like
a, I mean, you know, I, well, I mean, in all seriousness, he would love to do it. You know, the biggest thing with Michael, and it's ironic you asked that question, I probably received 50 requests from him within a week, for people that want him to come speak, they want him to, you know, do this, do that. And his time is like, he has none. You know, he has 2 young twins, spends a ton of time with his family. And so it's very tough. I mean, what I will do, I will put the request in for you. But I can't make any promises on that one. He's got a long list of requests.
I mean, at least you got a request. That's all we're asking for.
No, I was just kidding when I said -5. I mean, again, he would love to do it. It's just his time is just, there is none. And so, unfortunately, you know, he finds himself in a position that if he says yes to this, then the expectation amongst every other great group that's doing great things is that he needs to or has to do theirs. And so it has to be, you know, I think what he's done has been very wise, that he's really touched people broadly through like his Wings program, you know, through Jordan Brand, through our organization. And we're an extension of him. And You know, I wish, you know, that he was sitting in this seat rather than me spending time with you all. But part of what I try to do is be an extension of him, be able to share a lot of things that he's about and we're about as an organization. And hopefully, what Jordan Brand does is also does the same thing and also, you know, can do some things monetarily, that other organizations can't do.
Well, I think you've done a great job, like really like relaying information to us today. So thank you for that. And sure. You know, all we ask for is requests. So I mean,
one thing you'll find is if you don't ask, it is definitely not going to happen. So
yes,
I admire and I appreciate the ask.
So the second scenario we have, I'm not sure if you know, but we have like a CYC van. Could we possibly get it decorated? You know, just like. Little decoration, little revamp, you know, is that possible?
That's a five. We need to talk about that. We need to talk.
I hope everyone is clapping. If you have not been in this, you went, but I'm excited. I don't know what's wrong, but I'm excited.
Aaron, we need to talk about that one, okay?
Okay, and the last one that we have, we're hoping this one's a 5-2. So when it's safe to visit again, obviously not when like COVID-19 and everything, is there a possibility that you could come and stop by CYC and visit us?
That is a 10. So I am 100% on board with that. And let me just throw one out there. You know, once we start playing games again, in a safe environment and can host fans in our arena, I would love to host the CYC team at one of our games as my guest. And we'll coordinate that with Aaron and Betsy. But you guys have to pull for the Hornets when you come out. I don't want you pulling for one of our opponents when you come. But we'd love to host the entire CYC team and fellas out for a game. And we'll coordinate that with Aaron as well.
Oh, yeah, I think we would absolutely love that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, everyone else muted right now, but I'm going to say that everyone is saying 5. They're screaming 10.
I see some heads nodding, so that's a good thing.
To all our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Buckle up. Let's get personal. So being a North Carolina native, what does it feel like to go from being raised in Greensboro to being named 2019 Citizen of the Carolinas?
Well, first of all, Augustine, it's not something that I ever could have imagined that I would even be considered for. That honor is arguably one of the top honors that a citizen can receive in North and South Carolina. Just by way of history, Billy Graham, who most of you know that name, was the spiritual advisor for 6 or 7 of our presidents. Michael Jordan was recognized with the same honor. Billy Graham was recognized with that same honor. Johnny Harris, who's a huge business leader here in Charlotte, was recognized with that honor. That the list just kind of goes on and on. The year before I received the honor in 2018, Nikki Haley, who's a former governor of South Carolina and also ran the United Nations, was honored with this same award. And so, you know, to grow up as a young person in Greensboro, to be able to, you know, go to college. And ironically, Augustine, I went to UNC Greensboro my freshman year before I transferred to Campbell as a basketball player. To be able to grow up in Greensboro and go to college at Campbell University in Buies Creek, North Carolina, and then go to law school at North Carolina Central University in Durham, and pretty much have lived in North Carolina my entire life, except the 5 years that I lived in Washington, D.C., to work for the Washington Wizards and Jordan Brand. North Carolina has been my home. And so it really was a dream come true to be able to come back to Charlotte and become president of the NBA team here that I used to cheer for, and then be recognized by the business community and with their highest honor last year was something that I never even thought about being considered for it. Certainly didn't think I was worthy of it. I still feel like there are so many other great business leaders in our community and across North and South Carolina that were probably more deserving than I was. But I was honored that I was recognized that way by the Charlotte Regional Business Alliance.
That is a huge accomplishment. Congratulations on that. So speaking of growing up, I am currently a freshman at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro. And I hear that this is your hometown. What was it like growing up in Greensboro?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Augustine. Greensboro was a city, and it still is a city that has a lot of history. I'm not sure how much of that history you've learned your freshman year. The sit-in movement was held in Greensboro, North Carolina in 1960. It was where four young African-American students at North Carolina A&T decided that they would go to downtown Greensboro and sit down at the lunch counter and ask to be served for lunch when integrated lunch counters were non-existent. And it really promoted a movement across not only North Carolina, but across the country that eventually helped make lunch counters and restaurants and things that we take for granted today a way of life and have that moved along. Well, that's certainly a positive that came out of it, but the negative that came out of it was that it caused a lot of dissension, a lot of disruption. There were a lot of protests, a lot of marching for civil rights in Greensboro, and my parents were a huge part of that. As I mentioned, they both went to college. My mom went to Bennett College, which is an all-women's historically black college in Greensboro. My dad went to North Carolina A&T, where the four students were actually students when they were part of the sit-ins. And they marched in the early 60s, and my mom still tells the story of not being arrested, primarily because I was with her while she was marching during these civil rights protests. But a lot of that, a lot of those problems that persist during the 60s, you know, certainly were still in place in the 70s. When I started school as a young kid, I went to an all-black elementary school. I had all-black teachers. There was no integration amongst the schools in Greensboro. And integration of schools didn't start until I was in the eighth grade. And that's when busing started. And there were certainly a lot of conflicts and a lot of fights between the races that weren't used to being in school together and really doing anything together. And I think a lot of the history of Greensboro and the segregation in Greensboro and the civil rights movement in Greensboro led by the sit-ins certainly caused a lot of those problems. But what I'd say is Greensboro is still a city that's working towards people getting along better. You know, over time, Greensboro has healed. It's moved in a positive direction. There's a lot of history there. There's an African-American museum there. It's located in the old Woolworths building where the sit-ins actually took place. It's great to see the progress and diversity and inclusion in Greensboro. And Augustine, I know your chancellor there, an African-American gentleman, who's doing a great job at UNC Greensboro. And there are a lot of leaders in Greensboro that work very hard, whether it's Mayor Vaughn or the city council, to make sure that over time, people in the Greensboro community come closer together and all work together for the good of everyone.
So being a freshman who was tired of the cafeteria food, wants to avoid eating ramen noodles, what are your food recommendations?
That's funny because I actually loved the food in the cafeteria at UNCG when I was there. And so it's kind of funny you say that. I'm sure, you know, the cafeteria is much healthier and healthy living is much better now. But what I would suggest, and this is in all seriousness, to really think about a diet, that is healthy, that leads to a lifestyle that as you get older, like me, mm-hmm. that you'll appreciate that healthy lifestyle. So, there are a lot of options out there now, but I'm one of those that would encourage young people to not do like I did, which was gravitate to the Great Burgers or, you know, go over on Tate Street to the, I forget the name of the hot dog place. It's so good. This Yum Yums is still there.
Yeah.
But I try to look for a little healthier lifestyle that you'll appreciate when you get my age.
Speaking of restaurants, you said something about Yum Yum. What else do you have as a favorite restaurant in Greensboro?
Wow, in Greensboro, you know, a lot of my favorites are gone there, but I'd say Cafe Pasta, Lucky 32, is one of my favorite restaurants. That chain is owned by the same family that owns Green Valley Grill, which I like as well. But Hams used to be one of my favorites. And it's since it was a sports bar. It's since gone out of business. I like Harper's out in Friendly Shopping Center. You always get a great meal there. And then when I want a good steak, Plymouth out on Friendly Avenue is also a great place to grab a bite to eat.
So I hope somebody wrote those down so that when we do our coffee, we can go make a little pit stop, try some food. but just to transition into some like food for thought, so Augustine has already made it into college, and congrats to you. But my college process is just now starting, and just like a lot of my peers, we're looking at a lot of different colleges, and we understand that you went to Campbell University for undergrad, as you said, after transferring from UNCG after a year. So can you tell us, like, what made you decide to go to Campbell University?
Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, I was a basketball player in high school and was recruited by a lot of schools, not a lot of ACC or, you know, high Division I schools, but I decided initially to go to UNC Greensboro because they were a Division III school at the time, but they had a plan to move my sophomore year to play Division I, which is the highest level of basketball you can play. And I was very fortunate that my freshman year averaged 21 points a game. Competition wasn't a lot better than my high school competition. And I was named honorable mention Division III All-American as a freshman. After my freshman year, the Board of Trustees at UNCG decided to stay Division III and not move up to better competition. And ironically, Campbell University, where I grew up as a kid going to basketball school every summer from ages 8 to 18, was moving to Division I basketball. And having built a great relationship with the coach there, who was like a second father that I see every summer when I went to basketball school, having him come to me and recruit me and offer me a full basketball scholarship, and which would allow me to get my college education for free, was something that was very intriguing. And I also had the opportunity to play Division I basketball, which was my dream. One of the things that I wanted to do with this great opportunity to go to Campbell was to not just go there and play basketball, but also be a student. You know, I love school. My mom was a first grade school teacher for 35 years. And as I mentioned, my parents encouraged me to, you know, dig heavily and deep into education, and that it could be an equalizer for me. If I achieve academically, I'd have a chance to chase any dream I might want to chase from a career standpoint. And so I chose to major in economics when I went to Campbell, and felt like economics could give me a great foundation to be able to operate in the business world, even though I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do other than one day hopefully become a lawyer. And so I was able to go to Campbell University on that full basketball scholarship, earn my bachelor's degree in economics, be able to come out of Campbell and work for a year as an internal auditor, and then have the opportunity to go back to Campbell and work on my master's degree in business and serve as an assistant coach. And so I was so blessed and fortunate that Danny Roberts, my coach, offered me the opportunity to play there, and then the opportunity to come back and coach because that allowed me to get 2 degrees for free and basically earn both those degrees that would become part of who I am, part of my DNA, and part of helping me understand exactly how to operate in the business world and also enjoy basketball as a part of it.
So, like, at what point in your life did you decide that you wanted to be, like, an MBA executive? Or
you know, I don't know if I ever really decided necessarily that I wanted to be an MBA. Mm-hmm. You know, I, like every other young athlete, dreams about being a pro athlete and being on the court and playing. And, you know, what I found while I was in college was that even though I might have an opportunity, which I did have, to go overseas and play professionally in either Belgium or Sweden for not a lot of money, but changed my life completely. I said, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to, you know, pursue or try to pursue my law degree at some point and then see if I can find a way to somehow combine my legal background, my business background, my economics degree, and my MBA into a career. Didn't know exactly what that might end up being, But the first thing that came to mind was to be a sports attorney. And so I was very fortunate that I got an opportunity to work with David Falk, who represents represented Michael Jordan and about 40 other NBA players as one of the sports lawyers in his firm, Falk Associates Management Enterprises. But primarily that opportunity came about because I luckily happened to meet Michael when he was going into his senior year of high school when he came to Campbell's camp, and happened to be in my group, and we became friends and nurtured that friendship. It was a mutual friendship that grew over time. And ultimately, when he went to the NBA, I went back to law school, but we maintained our friendship. And a lot of the other sports management companies did their due diligence and found out Michael and I were friends and tried to offer me jobs to work with them in an effort to try and steal Michael as a client away from David Falk. But instead of me having creating that conflict of interest, Michael and I talked about it and felt like it was best if David would like to have me as a part of his legal team at his agency that I joined them, which is how I broke into the sports, professional sports industry. And so from there, didn't really have a path on what my next opportunity might be, but I continued to build relationships. And when David Falk sold his company, I was provided an opportunity by Nike, who I had met a lot of their senior executives from visiting their headquarters with Michael. And they offered me an opportunity that I really couldn't refuse, that they create a new role for me that would allow me to connect my experience in coaching, my experience in marketing, my experience with my legal background and basketball, and help run and manage the pro basketball division at Nike, and negotiate contracts on what we paid NBA guys to come and wear our shoes as endorsers. And then once we got them signed, help integrate them into our marketing. And that was going great. And I did that for 5 years. And then when Michael Jordan bought into the Washington Wizards as a part owner and president of basketball, he asked me if I would leave Nike and join him at Washington Wizards as director of player personnel and in-house legal counsel, managing the salary cap and negotiating the player contracts and overseeing our college scouting. And certainly I was there with him those 3 years. I know you all are probably a little young to remember, but in 2003, the owner of the Washington Wizards decided that after Michael went back and played for 2 years and helped sell out every game, that he wouldn't rehire Michael to be president of basketball again and basically fired him. And me being one of Michael's closest confidants, colleagues, shortly thereafter, the Washington Wizards parted ways with me as well, which I understood and respected. And that was when I had the opportunity in 2003 to go back to Nike and work in the Jordan brand for 3 years to help grow a very small division at Nike that has been built around Nike that was, I say small, it was a $300 million a year company that we were trying to get to $1 billion a year. And when I left in 2006 to become the president of the Charlotte Bobcats then, we were doing $900 million a year. And then that Jordan brand, which Augustine is a recipient of one of their scholarships, is now doing $4 billion a year in revenue. And so it's exciting to have been a small part of that. And then I was offered the opportunity to come here in 2006, not by Michael, but by Bob Johnson, who started BET Television, who used to own the Bobcats, when Michael partnered with him to be a partner with him in the organization and run basketball. Bob Johnson asked me if I would come here and run the business side as president and chief operating officer. And this season, I'll be entering my 15th season in my role. And fortunately, I've been promoted to vice chairman. And Michael also allowed me to invest alongside of him and become a minority partner with him in our organization. So never could have dreamt that I'd have the opportunity to be back home and be working for a professional NBA team here and actually even own a small piece of the team as an owner.
Just super impressive, just getting like more impressive by the second. So before we get into like serious questions, we just want to do a little like rapid fire round, get to know you a little bit more. So I'm just gonna like say something and like tell me the first thing that comes to like the top of your head. So favorite song?
favorite song. You know, I'm a jazz lover. And so with jazz music, I'll give you my favorite artist, Mike Phillips, who's with Hidden Beach Recordings, a brand that my brother started.
So what is your favorite movie?
You know what? I'm not a big movie buff, but I like documentaries. And the ones I've been enjoying most lately are the ones where individuals were wrongfully convicted. If I had to pick one, I'd say Moneyball, which is a movie about the mathematics associated with the sports industry and how we use analytics to help us on the basketball and the business side. But in this case, it was on the baseball side. The Moneyball was based around.
You know, we just had to ask this question. So what's your favorite Jordan shoe?
You know, I know this is going to sound cliche-ish, but I love the Jordan 1. The Jordan 1, which is the original shoe that came out in red and black and was banned by the NBA when Michael first wore it. I love that shoe now because they make some pretty cool retro Jordan 1s and low cut. So I don't wear a lot of high top basketball shoes anymore, but I love wearing the Jordan 1s in multiple colors and being able to dress them up and dress them down so I can wear them with the suit or with the sport coat, or I can wear them with jeans. Or obviously with sweatsuits. So I love the Jordan 1 shoe.
Yes, I would completely agree. They're definitely very like versatile.
They are.
And then we have a few more questions. So the next
You said that a little better than me. That they are versatile. That's pretty good. I agree with that.
So growing up, who is your favorite basketball player?
My favorite basketball player. Wow, now you're gonna see how really old I am because you probably hadn't heard of this guy, but he was one of the best ever, and he happened to be from North Carolina. A guy by the name of David Thompson. He played at North Carolina State University. He won the national championship there in 1974, and went on to play in the American Basketball Association, the ABA, and then the NBA. He grew up right down the road in Shelby, North Carolina, which is where my mom is from, which is one of the reasons I really started watching him and gravitating to him and becoming a fan. And then with him playing at North Carolina State in Raleigh, then winning a national championship, and then him going on to be a great professional athlete, I always followed his career.
And then our last question, who is your childhood role model?
My dad was a great man. He was a great leader of our household, but he was also very involved in our community. He and my mom both really preached education to me, how important education was in their lives. And you know, I was very fortunate that both my parents were college graduates and both my parents earned their master's degrees. And so education came first in our household. But my dad also taught me great life lessons and how to deal with conflict, how to take negatives and turn them into positives. And he was someone that I could always go to and get an honest answer. And so if I had one role model that I looked up to as a kid and looked up to him until he passed away a couple of years ago, it had to be my dad.
Wow. Okay. I think we can all, like, definitely, like, if it's not even, like, in our household, that education is important. Definitely when we come to CYC, they always, like, really emphasize that, like, education is first and, like, how important it is. So I think that's something that all the fellows here also value. Thank you for playing Rapid Fire Thing with us, just to get to know you a little bit more. Now we're going to get more serious questions, so I'm going to let Augustine take it away.
Okay. Protecting voters' rights and expanding voters' access is one in the number of issues that change agents have highlighted over the past few months. What are your thoughts overall on today's movement for social justice and equity?
Well, I think the movement is good. I think there's some progress, but it's a long horse race. I mean, you know, we've been really, you know, fighting this race ever since I was born. You know, I mentioned the civil rights movement in the 60s. You know, my parents have been working hard for civil rights and equal treatment and, you know, social justice over time. A lot of us have been, you know, really in the battle to make sure that there's prison reform and trying to, you know, certainly help those that are falsely accused and incarcerated, and working to get them released and exonerated. And then we're all doing all our best to fight social mobility, economic mobility. I mentioned that earlier. One of the things I'm most proud of in our Charlotte community is just how the corporate business community is all coming together to work to do everything we can to get Charlotte out of being 50 out of 50 in economic mobility, meaning that Charlotte, out of the largest 50 cities in America, you know, has a kid has the least opportunity to work their way out of poverty if they're raised in poverty. And I'm proud that many of us are working in the community to change that. And when I think about Albemarle Corporation and their $1 million commitment or donation that they're about to announce, I'm not sure whether I spill the beans or not, but it's to CYC because of the great work that Aaron and his team have been doing, which will make sure that this program continues for years to come. And then when I think about Andrea and Sean Smith with the Smith Opportunity Scholarship Fund, which is also a great thing because it'll be a bridge between a scholarship that you might earn that might not be a full scholarship and making it a full scholarship so that when you finish college that you aren't burdened with all the debt that a lot of students come out with that have student loans. And so I applaud, again, Luke and Catherine Kassam. Luke and his wife has been very involved with CYC and helped start the program and is certainly a great friend of me and my wife. And Andrea Smith and Sean Smith, unbelievable leaders in our community. Andrea is one of the most senior people at Bank of America, and she and Sean have made a family commitment, which I think is also going to be announced sometime soon. And I may be spilling the beans wrongly, but if I am, I'm glad I'm able to share with you all that there are great, great companies and great people in our community that believe in you, that want to invest in you, and they want to make sure that Aaron and his team continue having the resources to be able to help you chase your dreams and support those dreams.
You are so right. We do have a long way to go when it comes to voters' rights. We just recently lost Congressman John Lewis earlier this year, who was celebrated for the ability to make good trouble. How have you been able to make good trouble?
That's a great question, Augustine. And, you know, what I've tried to do in my life in creating what I'll call good trouble is focus on education for young people. And of all the things that I've done in my career, in my life, there's nothing that I'm more proud of than the fact that in 1985, I was able to start a basketball school for kids in Greensboro and started there primarily to use basketball as a hook to try and help some of the kids that grew up in an underserved neighborhood, Morningside Homes, that weren't as fortunate as me to have parents to push them towards education and staying away from drugs. And so when I started the Achievements Unlimited Basketball School in 1985, with the help of Michael Jordan and Ralph Sampson and Johnny Dawkins and David Henderson, I had never had any idea that we would go through 35 consecutive years of that program with over 10,000 kids coming through that program, almost all on scholarship and coming free from underserved neighborhoods and using basketball and learning basketball skills as a hook. Also share with all these young people over all these years how important education is in providing opportunities and how important it is to stay drug free. See, most people don't know why I started my school, but it was simply because by the time that I was 24, almost half of the players that played with me as a 7-year-old were dead because of some drug related activity, and they didn't have parents pushing them to stay away from drugs and focus on education. So my way of causing good trouble was taking that basketball hook and having great friends like Michael support me in my efforts. And we have hosted our basketball school every summer since 1985, 25 years in Greensboro, and the last 10 years here in Charlotte, bringing about 250 kids a year in from the Boys and Girls Club, from the Police Athletic League, from the Stratford Richardson Y and McCrory Y, and other great programs in Charlotte. I think CYC, even some kids, have been a part of our program to try and have them enjoy basketball and hopefully one or two will become a professional basketball player like Brendan Haywood did out of my camp in Greensboro. Wow. But if not, be able to do something productive and understand that education can open those doors if you can stay drug-free and not unfortunately die from some drug-related activity like a lot of my teammates did from my first basketball school. AchievementsUnlimited.com. Take a look at our website.
Okay, I will do. while trying to stay out of trouble, how are the Hornets moving the conversation forward?
You know, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. You know, we have been heavily involved in social justice, really dating back to 2016. Keith Lamont Scott, when he was killed here in Charlotte in a police related shooting. Our organization, under the leadership of Betsy Mack, who runs all of our community outreach and is executive director of our foundation, you know, our players wanted to take a lead and have take a stance, and we actually established a scholarship within the Hornets organization to have some young people, very similar to CYC, pay their full tuition to go to college and have them understand that education can help them with an opportunity for a great career in life. And I'm proud that I think our first young person is graduating this year. But we've also, through this program, created a social justice platform to address working with CMS and from an educational standpoint, to work on prison and reform that I mentioned. Also, quality health care with Novant being our partner in making sure that we can help provide quality health care in the underserved neighborhoods. Obviously, Michael has made a big investment as well with Novant, and there's a clinic on Freedom Drive, the Michael Jordan Family Clinic, and there's also one that'll be open in several weeks over on Statesville Avenue that will provide quality health care for those in the community. But it's really about giving back and trying to, you know, understand, you know, why so many in our community have struggled and haven't had a chance. And it really takes a village, and we just want to be a part of it at the Hornets and be able to address some of these issues that have led to a lack of economic mobility and help encourage young people and support young people financially and otherwise to have opportunities to chase their dreams. And I'm so proud of all of you that are involved in the program, that chasing your dreams, and Aaron and the team and the board behind you, and, you know, Albemarle Corporation and Andre and Sean Smith. I mean, it really makes my heart warm to see, you know, all these smiling faces and all the great things you have ahead of you and all the great ways you're going to contribute to our community.
Oh, wow. I see that networking actually did a lot to help you get to where you are today. That's very, very interesting. Knowing what you know now, what advice would you give yourself when first starting out in college?
The advice I'd give myself is the advice that I give all of you is to, you know, dream big dreams. Don't think that anything's unattainable. You know that there are people that are there to support you and be behind you and will do everything they can to help see you become successful and really actually take joy in that, and to build relationships and nurture those relationships. You never know, you know, who might be able to help you along your journey, and you never know who you might be able to help along their journey.
You do so much work throughout the community and expanding opportunities for youth, the Hoop T Foundation. If someone were making a documentary about you, your last dance, what is the statement / legacy you hope to leave behind in it?
Well, you know, I think, as I mentioned before, my Achievements Unlimited basketball school, which is a part of our Hoop T Charities effort, to think about the 35 years and all the young boys and girls that have come through our program and the success that many of them have had because they've listened to our message about how important education is and how important it is to stay drug free. It's what I hope that my legacy would be built on. And then, you know, Hoop T Charities really kind of grew out of my basketball school and has allowed us to go out and raise funds every year through our Hooptie Celebrity Golf Classic and our Hooptie Hardwood Legends Dinner that we host every year in New York, which allows us to be able to give grants to other great nonprofits like CYC and other great programs in our community and Greensboro and across the country, and provide unique educational opportunities for young people. And so at the end of the day, the thing that I'm most proud of and hope that my legacy will really focus on is not my time as a president of an NBA team or an executive at Nike or at Jordan Brand or the Washington Wizards or even as a lawyer, really about my efforts in conjunction with a lot of friends and family and supporters in being able to touch the lives and, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of young people that ordinarily wouldn't have had the opportunity to do a lot of things that we've been able to provide for them to do.
Well, I definitely think that you've made a statement here tonight, and I think even just from this one call, hopefully we'll see you again in person. You definitely left a message that will stay with me forever and hopefully everyone else that is on this call as well.
Thanks, Millie. And it's been an honor and a privilege for me to be here. I want to thank, I don't know whether she's on the call or not, but Catherine Kassam reached out to see if I would participate, and Aaron did as well. And I'd like to thank Mike Cristaldi and Betsy Mack and Elizabeth Klagen for helping coordinate me being a part of this. And it's great to see so many smiling faces on Zoom, but I really look forward to visiting CYC and seeing you all in person when it's safe to do so. And Augustine, I appreciate your questions. I wish you the best at UNC Greensboro, Millie. I wish you the best at Charlotte Country Day and afterwards. And all the other fellas, I wish you the best in high school and in college, and look forward to hearing and seeing great things from all of them.
And I just want to say that we all have a choice to make a statement daily. So I'm going to pose you with the question, what will be your next statement? Thank you, Mr. Whitfield, for the great conversation. I mean, thank you for tuning in. See everyone next week.